had to be recovered with water. The result of this was that the incisions filled with black powder were difficult to ignite, and one cut below the left knee was so deep and held so much powder that the resulting explosion blew the lower part of the leg completely off. The wound had to be hastily cauterized with a torch and a clumsy tourniquet applied to prevent the trapper from dying off too quickly. The blackened thing that hung against the blood-splashed cliff bore little resemblance to a human being. Around the Stickies camp, initial rippling pleasure had gone, to be replaced by boredom. Stickies had a limited attention span. A few of the youngsters still greeted each puff of flame and smoke with a ragged cry, but the rest were quiet. Charlie sensed that he was losing his audience and brought the proceeding to an abrupt ending. Using the point of the knife, he probed both eyes from their sockets, where they dangled onto the mutilated cheeks. Taking a wedge of wood, Charlie forced open Folsom's bloodied lips, jamming the jaws apart, grinning as he encouraged the girl to fill the mouth with black powder. He took the smoldering torch from the woman. He waved it around his head, the mane of golden hair dancing in the light. The flame roared into life, and he pushed it toward Folsom's face. The cheering from the expectant crowd dwarfed anything that had gone before, drowning out the sound of the explosive as it ripped the man's head off the top of his body, sending it 100 feet into the night sky. And so it ended. The next day was warmer, with a blue sky and a fine, drying wind blowing in from the north. Folsom's corpse had vanished, leaving only dark smudges on the sheer face of the sandstone cliff where it had been chained. Charlie was in high good humor after the monstrous demonstration of his power.
My people had a really good time, didn't they?
His prisoners were outside and manacled once more in the bright morning sunlight.
Light a fire and you can be bastard certain to have every Sticky in creation rolling on their backs, waving their legs in the air with pleasure.
You don't worry me, Ryan Cotter. Talk is cheap. Only death counts. Sun's above. That stooped body is probably around 100 miles downstream by now. Let the little ones play some with it. It'll be good for them to practice using their hands on Norm flesh. Not that the poor son of a bitch had too much of that left.
The mangled, bloodless remains of Red Folsom had ended up a lot closer to the Anasazi village than 100 miles. Dean had gone to relieve himself after breakfast that morning, picking his way along the narrow path, deep in congealed mud after the interminable rains of the previous 24 hours. The boy had found his father's disappearance extremely difficult to handle, and the knowledge that they'd now lost the trail on account of the turbulent weather had plunged him into the depths of misery. He felt a strong disapproval from the limping Christina Lauren, almost as if she blamed him personally for what had happened. Jack had always been real friendly, but now the albino, only a few years older than Dean, seemed embarrassed to be seen with him, constantly glancing over his shoulder to see if his wife was watching him. Doc and Mildred had been just as nice to him as ever, but there was something seriously wrong about JB. The armorer was usually calm and taciturn, seeming like his mind kept focusing inward. But since Ryan had been taken, JB had been on edge, unable to sit still, looking around at the sound of a raindrop dripping from a high branch, and fumbling for the butt of his Uzi. Every time they stopped, he'd be taking off his glasses, polishing them on a piece of clean rag, just like he was trying to wear the lenses away. JB had been at his worst when they realized that they totally lost the track. He'd clenched his fist, knuckles as white as Jack's hair, his eyes staring blankly through the soaked trees across the valley. His lips had been moving as though he were cursing under his breath. Dean had wondered whether he'd been praying, but that didn't seem too likely. But now the sun was shining, and they were near a raging torrent. It had only been a thin stream the day before, gurgling and chuckling its way over little green boulders. Now it would be almost impossible to cross in safety, as it hurled a great arc of rainbow spray high into the early morning air. Dean reached a bank of loganberries and wormed his way in among them, feeding himself as he lowered his pants, wiping himself with a handful of grass, then making his way down onto the flattened turf at the river's edge. He kneeled and dipped his hands into the freezing water, washing them clean. Then he stooped farther forward to wash his face and drink a cupped mouthful from a deep pool beneath him.
Shit, a brick!
He jumped back so fast that he was 15 feet away before he even realized that he'd moved. The turquoise hilt of his knife was gripped in his right fist, and his lips were peeled back in a feral snarl of terrified menace. Then his mind started to reassure him about what it was that he'd seen floating in the bright water, shimmering like the forgotten ghost of some old yesterday. A drowned man, Dean thought. Go tell the others. The dead body was laid out on wet grass, the remains of its face turned toward the cloudless sky and the dazzling sun that filtered through the branches of pines. The companions stood around it in a silent circle, looking at the horrors that had been performed upon what had once been a man.
Had time he had of it.
Christina turned away, looking over the ceaseless river, her shoulders slumped. Jack put an arm around her, but she shrugged him off and walked slowly away, back toward the smoldering embers of their overnight campfire. Mildred had already given the corpse a cursory checkup.
There are no gunshot wounds, I don't think. Of course, coming some ways down the river hasn't done a lot for the condition. There's massive bruising, some breaks that might have been pre-mortem done by the rocks. Looks like some fish had been nibbling, but the rest...
She spread her hands to encompass the appalling injuries that disfigured the man's body.
What can possess a human being to commit such inhuman outrages upon another? I fear that we are dealing with dark forces here, are we not?
J.B. took off his spectacles and polished them, not looking at anyone else, ignoring the slab of mottled torn flesh.
Tortured with a knife and some kind of explosive detonated or ignited in the flesh. By the pockmarks and the scorches around the wounds, I'd guess they used plain old black powder. Typical Stickies game.
When I first saw it, thought it was Ryan. Not much of a head left. Explosive in the mouth. Maybe in the eyes as well.
Yeah, looks like the eyes went before he was chilled.
This is what Stickies do?
Mildred pointed to where strips of skin had been ripped away, bringing sections of muscle with it. Near the gaping, white-lipped wounds, she could see the clear marks of tiny circular scars.
Yeah, that's the suckers on a Sticky's hands. Bastards.
We gonna bury him?
No. Came out of the river, we'll put him back in there. Don't have the time nor the inclination to open up the ground for a stranger. Best get moving.
Think they're the same lot that have Ryan and Christy?
Must be. River's in full spate. Might have carried the body a long way. But there's one thing for sure. We followed back upstream into the high country there, and we might just find them.
They stood around in silence. None of them referred again to the hideous state of the dead stranger. Not in front of Ryan's son. Scant miles away, up the steep and torturous mountainside, the camp of the Stickies had been enjoying a quiet day in the beautiful weather. Wet clothes were laid on warm rocks to dry. Parties went out to seek kindling for the fires, and the hunters left in the middle of the morning. For Ryan, Christy, and the other prisoners, the hours drifted by slowly. None of them spoke much. There didn't seem anything worth saying. Ryan was preoccupied with trying to come up with some sort of plan to save his life and Christie's, and possibly some of the others as well. If you could once break free and reach the far side of the little bridge, then you had a fair chance of outrunning the Stickies. But Charlie was more careful since Folsom's attempt to escape. Now there were patrols farther out, and guards posted on the high part of the ravine. And the captives were never released as a group, except under the heaviest of armed guards. Every route that Ryan examined in his mind seemed to end in the blank wall of recapture or death. But since being killed was going to be the final scene in about 36 hours, there wasn't too much for any of them to lose.
Come up with anything, lover? I can almost hear the gears grinding in your brain.
Nothing. Well, almost nothing.
Prefer almost to nothing at all.
Ryan leaned toward her, his eye raking the camp to make sure none of the Stickies was paying them any particular attention.
It's a last chance. Tomorrow morning when they get us out. Only time we're not chained together. Just grab for blasters, and then run.
That's it?
Yeah. I said I was...
Grab their blasters and run. Now I know we're in deep shit, Lover.
You got a better plan?
Of course not. But we have to...